The Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday 5 things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, dear Muslims all around the world, Salaam Alaikum and welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio on special days of the month of Muharram. Accept our condolences on these days. Due to the month of Muharram, we want to look at the way of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him.
Allahumma ja'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad.
Today, Wednesday, is the 2nd of Muharram, 1442, of the Islamic lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 20th of Mordad, 1400 of the Islamic solar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of August, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. It's a good time to listen to a short commentary of some parts of Ziyarah Ashura.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله السلام عليك يا خيرة الله وابن خيرته السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين وابن سيد الوصيين السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين السلام عليك يا ثار الله وابن ثاره والوتر الموتور
Peace be upon you, O Abu Abdullah. Peace be upon you, O son of the Messenger of Allah. Peace be upon you, O son of the Commander of the Faithful, and the son of the leader of the inheritors of the Prophet. Peace be upon you, O son of Fatima, the leader of the women of the entire universe. Peace be upon you, O the one who was killed, and whose blood was not yet been avenged, and whose avenging is in the hands of Allah. And peace be upon you, the son of the one who was killed, and whose blood has not yet been avenged. And peace be upon you, O the one who was alone, an individual.
On the month of Muharram, and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn. It is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbalah.
Peace be unto you, O son of Fatima. This verse is one of the most radiant verses of Ziyarat Ashura, for it reveals the pleasant origin of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and his utter purity. Not only is the Imam a physical offspring of the sublimest example of purity and goodness, he is her spiritual artifact as well. One of the appellations of Hazrat Fatima is At-Tayyibah, that means the pleasant one. Imam Hussein being the offspring of a pure mother also inherits other purity. On today's special, we'll look at the path of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Sheikh Muhammad Mahdi Asafi, in his book entitled Ashura, makes an analysis of Imam Hussein's letter from Karbala to his brother Muhammad. He wrote, "The Umayyads had gone to great length in tyranny and had corrupted Islamic society. They had succeeded in spreading terror, temptation, and deception to different regions of the Islamic world. They altered the outlines of this religion to such an extent that nothing would have remained of Islam but its name. As Hussein said, then bid farewell for Islam, for the nation has been afflicted with a shepherd like Yazid. On the one side, the people had been possessed by fear and terror and their preference for safety and well-being, and on the other by enticements. Imam al-Hussein had witnessed this severe trial in all its ramifications as he traveled from Medina to Karbala."
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Rabbi Nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about the path of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Now we find that the mission and career of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam made such a great impact on not only the Islamic religion, but also on many aspects of our lives. Imagine that the impact of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam's unique sacrifice not only left its influence and significance on the Muslim world, but also on the on other religions. Now you find that the calamities inflicted on Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam are mourned for not only by Muslims and particularly by Shiites, but also by quite a large number of non-Muslims in various parts of the world. And in this regard, we find that shedding tears in favor of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and his martyred companions should make us aware of the mission and career of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and his sublime aims. And certainly, among these sublime aims of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, we find that he intended to lead everybody, both his friends and foes, to the right path.
Let's think it twice. Why is the uprising of Ashura different from all the uprisings and movements of the world? One characteristic of the event is that Imam Hussein's movement was solely and truly for the sake of Allah, the religion, and rectifying the society of Muslims. This first feature is very important. Imam Hussein stated, "I did not rise up, leaving my homeland out of self-interest, for the sake of seeking pleasure, corruption, or oppression." That is, it was not for swaggering, selling himself, desiring something for himself. There was not even a bit of oppression or corruption in this movement. "I rise up only for the sake of rectification of the nation of my grandfather, the Messenger of Allah." This is an extremely important point. The Arabic word used, which means only, indicates that there is no other intention that can contaminate the pure intention and the sun-like mind of Imam al-Husayn. Here, Imam Hussein says, "I did not rise up out of self-interest or for the sake of seeking pleasure."
Ya Hussein, 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 Ya Hussein, Hussein.
Lessons of Muharram.
Lessons from Karbala. Keep an open mind. This means thinking independently and being just in one's judgments, not simply following others blindly and keeping one's eyes closed. On the day of Ashura, Imam Hussein addressed Yazid's troops, "May Allah remove his mercy from them. O believers of Abu Sufyan, if you are not following the teachings of Islam, then as free men, be independent of judgment. On what basis do you fight me now?"
Rasulullah, I have read the ahadith. I have studied the ahadith about how Rasulullah used to cry for Imam Hussein. At least 20 occasions he cried for Imam Hussein. And wait a minute. Was Imam Hussein killed before Rasulullah or after Rasulullah? Imam Hussein is the grandson. Imam Hussein was killed 50 years after the Holy Prophet died. So Rasulullah is crying for his grandson even before he's killed. This shows, he's trying to show us that this is an important matter. At least 20 occasions. The first of those occasions is when Imam al-Hussein is when Imam Hussein alayhi salam was born. When Imam Hussein was born, the story is narrated by Asma. Asma says, he came to me, he told me, bring me my grandson Hussein. It's a time of what? Celebration. You should be happy because your grandson is born. He says, as soon as he took him, he began to cry. And they were not tears of joy, tears of sadness. So Asma says, I was surprised. Ya Rasulullah, why are you crying? You should be happy. This is your second grandson, Hussein. Rasulullah tells Asma, Ya Asma, I'm crying because Jibra'il came down and informed me, the angel Jibra'il, that this great grandson of yours, this grandson of yours, he will be killed by your own nation. While they want your shafa'a intercession, and I cannot help but seeing this baby, this child of mine, Imam Hussein, will be killed by my own nation. Rasulullah would cry, and not just a tear, like I said, they would cry, the Imams and Rasulullah, until their beards would be soaked with their tears. Rasulullah cries for Imam Hussein when he's born. And then I'm so arrogant, I say, why should I cry for Hussein? Who are you following? Are you following Rasulullah or someone else? And in many other situations, in many other stories, Rasulullah would cry for Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Allahumma ja'al mahya ya mahya
mahya
Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad
wa mamati
mamat Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Thank you for joining us till this moment, the end of today's special from IRIB English Radio. May Allah increase our rewards of our mourning for Imam al-Hussein and let us be one of the companions of Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. Till another episode of today's special, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Salam. And today, on the 2nd of Muharram, the anniversary of the arrival in Karbala of the Prophet's grandson, Imam Hussein, peace upon him, for his rendezvous with immortal martyrdom, we present you one of his beautiful statements, which is indeed food for thought regarding approach to God, faith and religion. For by my life, what is the Imam except one who judges by the book, one who upholds justice, one who professes the religion of truth, and one who dictates himself to the essence of Allah?
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Oh Lord, here I am pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am.
yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليكم my dear brothers and sisters welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. As we've said previously, and I'm sure most of our dear listeners have the experience and have listened to the majalis and have listened to the many speakers who are out there promoting and speaking about crying and the importance of crying in this month of Muharram. There's no doubt about it. They're one of the great tools and methods and means to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is crying. But again, this crying needs to be directed towards something that is, you know, will give it that particular nur, that particular light. We as human beings, you know, have the ability, or rather have this emotional, you know, system within us where when we are sad, normally we cry, or when we are hurt, we cry. Sometimes we cry over things that are not necessary to cry about. This is why religion comes and just guides and directs us towards where we should place this grief, where we should place, you know, this lamentation, this tears, for what? The for what is important. So again, Imam Zajjad alayhi salam speaking about tears, speaking about crying. Even one tear, as we saw previously, Imam again speaks about one tear, just one. And Imam says that any believer, who cries over us with even one tear running down his cheek because of his grief over the way in which our enemies hurt us in this life, will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that tear. Just that one tear. So that one tear will have such reward, not only in the hereafter, but also it is very possible that that tear will be something that he is rewarded for here. That one tear that he cries for the oppression that was done to the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, he will be made to dwell in good settlements in paradise. Now what do we mean by good settlements in paradise? Give me many things. One of the best settlement is what? The best settlement is you are close, or you are to the closest proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the most closest proximities to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the proximity to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This is a good settlement. This is a good place. This is a good abode in the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that inshallah we have that ability to cry for Imam al-Hussein. But again, not making tears the objective. The tear is a means and a wasila towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into a higher objective, inshallah. Until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل. الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on the blessed days of Ramadan, the month of Allah. I hope that your acts of worship are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of this program. I'm very happy to be with you.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear brothers and sisters, Ramadan is a spring of Quran. And as you know, during Ramadan, almost all Muslims try to recite the Noble Quran, and they try to finish recitation of at least one juz every day. Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam says that the reward of recitation of one verse of the Noble Quran in the month of Ramadan is equal to the recitation of the whole Noble Quran. And of course, listening to the recitation of the Noble Quran has got a lot of rewards too. In a program, Let's Recite the Quran, each day we are going to listen to recitation of a few verses of a specific juz. But before it, we are going to talk a little about the surah or chapters included in that juz and their reward for those who recite those verses. After recitation, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze the recitation and the recited verses. Beside these segments, we have got some other interesting Quranic parts which are going to be presented to you. So dear audience, stay tuned. Dear audience, today on the 16th day of the blessed month of Ramadan, we are going to listen to the recitation of a few verses of a surah included in Juz 16 of the Noble Quran. Juz 16 includes the rest of Suratul Kahf and two other complete surahs, 19th surah, Suratul Maryam, with 98 verses, and Suratul Taha with 135 verses. Suratul Maryam was revealed in Mecca, and it is called Maryam because it narrates the story of Lady Mary, or Maryam, the Virgin Mother of Jesus Christ. It contains the story of some prophets too. Surah Taha, the 20th surah of the Noble Quran, was also revealed in Mecca, and it includes the stories of prophets Adam and Moses.
Okay, Brother Mahdi, we talked about Surah Al-Kahf, so let's talk about one surah in this juz, Surah Maryam.
Mm-hmm.
It's been narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, who said that whoever continuously or continually recites Surah Maryam will not leave this world except that Allah will make him needless of wealth and children. And on the Day of Judgment, he will be among the followers and companions of Jesus Christ. And he will have great glory in the hereafter. And in the hereafter, the glory, wealth, and power which Prophet Solomon had in the world will be given to that person if he continuously recites this surah.
What do you mean by continuously, brother?
It means that, for example, they very much like this surah, and they recite it very much on a daily basis.
Once a week, or
once, or for example, we could say twice a week, or thrice a week,
mm-hmm.
And you know, they because some people, they they become fond of certain surahs.
Uh-huh.
And they like to read it a lot. For example, Surah Al-Waqi'ah, it's recommended that you recite it every day after the Isha prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of pious and religious people, they do this. They recite Surah Al-Waqi'ah every day.
Inshallah.
Surah Maryam could also be recited every day. You know, because, you know, these narrations, in fact, tell us that if you recite, if you want to have these benefits, you should recite these surahs a lot. For example, every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that difficult to recite one surah every day because, you know, Surah Maryam is less than one juz.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually you would it's recommended that you recite one juz
every day,
especially in the month of Ramadan.
Inshallah, we manage to do it.
Inshallah.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. Now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 1 to 9 of Surah to Maryam in Juz 16 of the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كافها يا عين صاد ذكر رحمة ربك عبده زكريا إذ نادى ربه نداء خفيا قال رب إني وهن العظم مني واشتعل الرأس شيبا ولم أكن بدعائك رب شقيا وإني خفت الموالي من ورائي وكانت امرأتي عاقرا فهب لي من لدنك وليا يرثني ويرث من آل يعقوب واجعله رب رضيا يا زكريا إنا نبشرك بغلام اسمه يحيى لم نجعل له من قبل سميا قال رب أنى يكون لي غلام وكانت امرأتي عاقرا وقد بلغت من الكبر عتيا قال كذلك قال ربك هو علي هين وقد خلقتك من قبل ولم تك شيئا
كتاب الله كتاب الله.
Dear audience, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. And what you just listened to was recitation of verses 1 to 9 of Surah to Maryam in Juz 16 of the Noble Quran. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Yes, sure. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. At the beginning of this surah, the first verse, we have Huruf Muqatta'a, where you have to pronounce the name of the letters. So it's important that you learn first the name of every letter in Arabic.
In Arabic, yeah.
Of course, not every letter in the Arabic language is huruf al-muqatta'. We don't have, for example, fa or what else? We have ra, but do we have za?
Not sure.
We don't have za. So we don't have all of the letters as huruf al-muqatta'.
However, it's better to know the name of the letters.
If you know the name of the letters, it's better. Kaf. Kaf. Ha, ya, ayn, sad. Why is it that only three letters have mad? Madul lazim. Do you know why? Okay, for example, we have kaf. Why is it that we have to lengthen kaf to six vowel counts?
Because actually the name of the letter kaf consists of three letters, and the letter in between is alif, and the final letter will become sakin. So mad takes place.
Yes,
maddu lazim.
Yes, that's right. And the cause of the mad is sukun. And that is why ha and ya don't have mad, because there is no third letter that is sakin. We have two letter name for ha and ya. And then we have ayn, which is maddu lim.
Mm-hmm.
You have to lengthen again to six vowel counts. And we have ikhfa of nun sakina, ayn sad. At the end, you have to apply the ikhfa of the nun sakina, because the name of the letter ayn has a nun sakina at the end.
At the end, yeah, and it comes to a letter of ikhfa that is sad,
which is sad.
Okay, now let's talk about the other idgham.
And sometimes idgham takes place. For some huruf al-mughatta, idgham takes place, such as alif lam mim, which is
called idgham al-mutamathilan, I think.
Right.
That is two same letters.
That's right. Idgham al-mutamathilan. Then we have dhikru. Dhikru. We have the kaf, which is sakin. We have to hear the clicking sound of kaf. If you say dhikru, dhikru, that's incorrect. Dhikru. In the phrase nida'an khafiyya, we have matul muttasil. We have nida'an, which is a long vowel followed by
a hamza
in the same word.
So that is conjunct mad.
It's a conjunct mad. You could lengthen it to four or five vowel counts. This reciter lengthened it to five vowel counts.
And then after tanwin, we have kha.
Yes, and then we have ilhar of nun sakina.
Yes, so that is a letter of, which is a letter of
ilhar. Akum bidu'aika. Here we have iqlab of nun sakina, which means you have to pronounce the nun like a mim sakina that has ikhfa.
Mm-hmm.
So iqlab takes place whenever there is a nun sakina followed by the letter ba.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one letter for iqlab, and that is
ba.
Yes. And like I said, you have to pronounce the nun like a meme, but not a normal meme sakina. A meme sakina which has ikhfa. What is ikhfa of meme sakina? It means that you don't completely close the mouth while pronouncing meme.
There should be a space for the lips.
It should be a little bit open, we could say this.
Mm-hmm.
The mouth should be a little open. Akum bidu'aika. Akum. See, you could hear even the sound is different. If you say akum bidu'aika,
that is completely nasal.
You could actually distinguish the sound.
Mm-hmm.
That this is not iqlab, this is not ikhfa of mim sakina. And it's said that the space between the lips should be very little.
As much as
for a thin sheet of paper between the lips. Of course, not literally, but they say this.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. I hope that you've enjoyed it. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please don't forget to pray for us during the blessed hours of Ramadan. May Allah bless you all. Have a nice time and goodbye.
سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين
املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن
When your horse returns to our camp riderless
أزور سيدي ومولاي ومعتمدي ورجاي
The ocean of dua
الإمام الحسين عليه السلام زيارة
For ourselves,
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarisi and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua We are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of Ziyarat Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ziyarat al-Ashura. So stay with us.
Ya Aba Abdullah, laqad azmatir raziya wa jallatil musiba bika alayna. جلت وعظمت مصيبتك في السماوات على جميع أهل السماوات
Brothers and sisters, we were talking about this part of زيارة عاشورة وجلت وعظمت المصيبة بك علينا وعلى جميع أهل الإسلام And the calamity on us and all the enthusiasts of Islam because of what befell on you is great and severe, and on all of the members of the enthusiasts of Islam. And then, this radiant ziyarah continues, وَجَلَّتْ وَعَظُمَتْ مُصِيبَتُكَ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ عَلَى جَمِيعِ أَهْلِ السَّمَاوَاتِ And the calamity that befell on you is reckoned by all the inhabitants of the heavens, in the heavens, as severe and great. In this phrase, Dear listeners, we confess that not only was the calamity great for the earth and its inhabitants, the heavens and their inhabitants likewise were overtaken. They actually were shaken by sorrow and grief for what transpired on a representative of Allah on the earth. Addressing to Ibn Shabib, Imam Ali ibn Musa Ridha alayhim as-salam says, وَلَقَدْ بَكَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعَ وَالْأَرَضُونَ لِقَتْلِهِ Certainly, the seven heavens and earths cried because of his martyrdom, that is, of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. In this regard, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is reported to have said, إِنَّ أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ الْحُسَيْنِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ لَمَّا قَضَى Indeed, when Abu Abdullah al-Husayn bin Ali left this world, بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِ السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ وَالْأَرَضُونَ السَّبْعُ وَمَا فِيهِنَّ وَمَا بَيْنَهُنَّ The seven heavens and the seven earths and whatever is in and between them. وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ مِنْ خَلْقِ رَبِّنَا وَمَا يُرَى وَمَا لَا يُرَى And whosoever moves in paradise and hellfire from the creation of our Lord, and what can be seen and what cannot be seen, wept for him. So all these things, actually all the creations of the Almighty Allah, wept for the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
people ask, I'm confused about which school is right or which madhab is right, go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, I'm confused, say, please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion. You will see it completely exemplifies, it clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is, do not allow tyranny, do not allow evil doing, do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah, he appreciates him, he understands his dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts. No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we're talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
One point should be taken into consideration. It has been established in its own place that every existential entity has a share in comprehension. Every creation has a sense of glorification, laudation, love, and lamentation. In Arabic terms, they're called shu'ur, tasbih, hamd, ishq, and also buka. Those, however, who have not contemplated on the Holy Quran and the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam may consider this as far-fetched. In order to grasp and understand this reality intellectually, they should refer to works on the transcendent philosophy, or the so-called Al-Hikmatul Muta'aliya, by the leading philosophers such as Mulla Sadra and Mulla Hadi Sabzawari. May Allah elevate their noble spirits. There is also a verse of Holy Quran that somehow informs us about the possibility of the sky weeping. The Holy Quran says, فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا كَانُوا مُنْظَرِينَ. So neither the sky wept for them, nor the earth, nor were they granted any respite. So as you can see, dear listeners, this verse clearly shows that it is possible for the skies and also the earths to weep for someone. In this case, the Holy Quran states that for those who died in that way, فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلِيهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ, neither the sky wept for them nor the earth. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us. I suppose that would be enough for now. We ask the Almighty Allah to sit us among the guided ones by the light of Imam al-Hussein and other infallible Imams. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
أنت الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عين لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين الروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
It's night, dark and cold. I walk in the city alone in the crowd.
Islamic law.
Every street, every store is filled with colors and smiles as before. I know clouds are hidden behind these faces. Is there anyone who has a sunny heart? I put on my headphones and play the song, which repeats the enchanting whisper.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio and the program Islamic Laws, in which we are going to talk about the rules and fatwas of Ayatollah Khamenei, which are related to the month of Muharram and mourning for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Before everything, let me express my condolences to the Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance and all the Muslims all around the world, especially the Shias, on this being the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and his companions and family members. Like always, we are joined by our dear guest, Sheikh Javed. Sheikh Javed, salamu alaykum, and thank you for accepting our invitation.
Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me on this program.
So as I mentioned, today we will answer to the questions asked from the Supreme Leader, Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching Makassas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid, according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the Supreme Leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and his teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.